God revealed himself to me when I was in my late teens. I did not grow up in a Christian home because of some of those dynamics of my parents. And in not growing up in a Christian home, I was a heathen, just flat out lost, doing just crazy things. But in my high school year, there was this young lady, and she hunted me down, okay? She pursued me against her better judgment and the better judgment of a lot of folks. But in that pursuit, one of the things that had to happen, her folks said, you have to come to church. You have to be at church with her if you're going to date her. So I started going to church with them, and it really didn't mean anything to me. I was just there because I was with her. But God moved in my life and moved me to go active duty in the military, in the Air Force. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute, too. And I went down to Seymour Johnson, North Carolina, and there God revealed his word to me in a way that I had never heard it before. And one night in my dormitory room, I sat down next to my bed with two other gentlemen, and I prayed to ask God to take over my life. I was a wreck. I was doing a lot of stupid things. I wasn't terribly bad. I just wasn't where I needed to be. And in that, God came into my life and started an amazing work. At that particular time, that young lady that was pursuing me, she and I had split up because somebody decided that he didn't want to get married in January, February, May, whatever it was. She kind of got upset about that. But that's because God had to get me right. I had to be right with him before we would be right. And in that, our relationship was restored. We ended up getting married in May and off to the races. The rest is history, as they say. God has put us on an excellent journey that has taken us many places we never thought we would go, but it's all been worth it. In that time, we've had two sons, so I'm excited about speaking on Father's Day because I'm a dad. I'm a son and I'm a dad. Our two boys, the oldest will be 30 this year, so that really makes me old. And our youngest will be 27, because 3 years apart. And I'm very proud of these young men. These two guys have really done a great job at growing into adulthood. They are on their own. They are not on my payroll anymore, which is a real plus. Both are in school, which is exciting. One to be a lawyer, one to be a pastor. So I have my scribe and my Pharisee, all right? In that, as a father, I'm now a grandfather. Our granddaughter is 2.5 years old. We had her all day, or part of the day Friday, and most of the day Saturday. It was awesome. You know what? For all you parents out here, understand, you have to go through kids to get grandkids. And man, the grandkids are awesome. Be well worth the journey. So don't kill your kids now. Trust me. The payoff is there. It'll be okay. All right? Now, along with that, I do have another life outside of being an elder here. I am in the military, sort of. I'm in the Kentucky Air National Guard. I'm the director of personnel for the Kentucky Air National Guard. If you've been in the military, you know what I mean whenever I say I'm in the military, sort of. The Air Force is like a Fortune 500 company, okay? Brent, you can help me out here. You know, Brent's in the Army. They're a lot different. They're the military, all right? The Air Force, we have rental cars, and we travel in, where we stay at hotels. The Army, on the other hand, their accommodations are not so nice. And I'm getting ready to go off on a little trip this fall. And the Army guy keeps looking at me going, oh, it's really austere. It's going to be rough on you. I'm like, what do you mean? Is the pool closed before 10 o'clock? Is that what you're saying? He just laughs like that, too. So, I don't know. Austere. Yeah. The coffee's not ready in the morning when we wake up. Okay. But in being in the military, some people put things on me that really shouldn't be there. For instance, they think I'm very regimented and very organized and very orderly. I'm very those things, all right? Andy's nodding. He's seen it, all right? He's seen this. My wife, if you talk to her, she's the one that should be in the military. Everything has a place and a time and all this and on time. Yeah. Now, Frank was in the Air Force also, but Frank's not quite like me. But I think he would validate about it not being real military. I am not organized, all right? And that's okay. That's the way God has made me. I'm not very good with time, which could be a bad thing for you today, all right? We'll see. It could be a good thing because I'm like the substitute teacher. You know, substitute teachers always seem to not have enough, so they get done early and we sit around and we chat. So maybe we can get out there early. But I have a terrible concept on time. All right? We'll see how it works out for you today. The last thing is that I love to teach on the word of the Lord. I'm a teacher. I am not a preacher. You're not going to hear a sermon today. You're going to hear a lesson, because that's who I am. The whole preaching thing, I talked to the Lord about this. Lord, it doesn't fit for me. We have wonderful pastors that do a fantastic job at preaching your word. I'm a teacher. But in being a teacher, that's exactly what the Lord has called us to be. Teachers. We are all teachers. And we should excel at what he's called us to do. For me, teaching is the way that I share or profess God's word. So we're going to teach today through a part that I think I'm very excited about. Proverbs 4. So if you can, turn to Proverbs 4 as I'm talking here. Proverbs is full of wonderful things, fantastic things that help us to see life and to understand life. Proverbs, the Hebrew word, means that, let's see here, comparisons, to compare one thing to another. Proverbs in our society are like pithy little sayings. And the word pithy means succinct or very focused and short. So that way, little sayings that have great impact. And we're going to see that throughout Proverbs. But Proverbs 4, specifically, I think, speak to men. We've all heard Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. But you've never maybe heard what proverb matches up for guys. Well, I think it's 4. Because in Proverbs 4, it tells us what we as men should be doing. So we're just going to kind of step this off. Now, you've got a skinny, if you came in this morning, and it's blank on the back. It means you have to do a lot of writing. That's how teachers are. They make you write, and they make you read, and they make you do a lot of different things. So, in that, we're going to read quite a bit. We've got a couple different scriptures I want to take us to. And then we're also going to do a lot of writing, I hope, because you should take that skinny to PCG, and you should talk about the things that we hear here at our gathering, what we call church. Talk about it in your PCG so that way we can learn and become what God has called us to be in Proverbs. Before I jump into it, though, there are a couple of other things I want to talk about. First of all, why do I think it's important that we learn about Proverbs 4, about how we should be? If you flip over to Judges 2, 6 through 10, one of the little things I do is I make little tabs, so that way it's easy for me to find my text. But in Judges 2:10, it tells us that Joshua had come to the point in his life where he was going to die, and he was passing the mantle over. And as he died, things started happening. He dismissed the people to go and live in the area of the land that God had given them, that they had been bequeathed early on, and they had been away from it all this 400 years plus the 40 years in the desert, and then the time that it took to clean out this land. But Joshua dies, and then as he dies, we see a terrible, terrible thing that has happened to the Israelites. It says there in verse 10 of Judges 2, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. They died. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. If we don't teach on the things of the scripture, we may be the generation that has walked away from the Lord. We may father the generation that walks away from the Lord. Look at our country today. Where are we in relationship to God? Are we where we need to be? Or are we slipping away? Well, if we're slipping away, it's our fault. Men, it's your fault. And you are the ones who have allowed it to happen. And that's what we see here in Judges. The men allowed it to happen because we have a challenge. And I'm going to throw that challenge out here in just a moment so that we can see how we can step up to the plate, how we can be who we need to be and what God has called us to do. Proverbs 4. If you would please stand with me as I read. We're going to read all of Proverbs 4. It's a little long, 1 through 27, but I think we can do it. We did 66 the other day, verses, so that was quite a chore. And as I read this, I want you to kind of get an image of an older man who has called everyone together. He's called all the boys, maybe at a family reunion. Guys, come here, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you something. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all of your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings. The years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter into the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass it by. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what they stumble over. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all of your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Thank you. You may be seated. Father, I'm excited about the opportunity to share your word. I'm excited about what you have taught me through this text as a father and as a son. And I pray now, Lord, that as we come together, your people, your children, that we will focus on what you have for each one of us in this text, that we will see where we are on this journey of getting wisdom, of getting insight, acquiring knowledge, and that, Lord, my words will be clear, that they will be your words, and that I will be simply a vessel to communicate that. Lord, in all of this we pray. Amen. All right. You know, that mental picture I have of that father sitting there, it's Solomon. It's King Solomon who's calling the people, the men around him, the family around him. He's the one who's telling us the instruction. He is the father. Where did he get it from? He got it from his own dad, King David. Now, if you've read the scripture, the Old Testament, you know King David was a man after God's own heart. But David was also trouble. I'm going to put it nicely. I told you I'm a teacher, okay? I teach college-level courses in leadership, and I really like that because it's cool because I can be the sage on the stage, and as the sage on the stage, I can say pretty much whatever I want, be a little ornery. But I'm representing God up here today, and God is ornery at times, but he's told me not to be ornery because I'd say something else about David. I mean, he was a piece of work. You know, I'm going to put it like that. Go back and read all the things that he messed up with. Experience. Wow. And he told his son, Solomon, the ways of the Lord? Yes, he did, because he was a man after God's own heart. A man who was willing to face up to his mistakes and tell his boy, don't do this. Don't go there. Now Solomon is turning around and telling his folks, his kids, those that are following him, the men and the women that are following him, listen to what I have to say. You know, I can relate a little bit more. I'm coming up on that half century mark this year. And I look back and I can understand where Solomon was at this. He was probably thinking, you know, I got a lot of information to give you and a little bit of time to tell you because time's running out. Now, I'm not that close to running out of time. But as you get older, become a grandparent, all those things, your mortality starts staring you in the face. And that's not a bad thing. There's a little bit of time for us to talk about what's going to happen. And you're hoping that that little bit of time is within the 40 minutes that normal preaching happens here. All right? Proverbs 4, 1 through 4. This first part of Proverbs, he's telling us where he got his information. He got it from his dad. Where did David get it? David got it from his father. He got it also from a great mentor. Samuel was his mentor that helped him down the road in a lot of different ways. David had men around him that would come and help him out. Nathan, just different times. But I want you to flip over to Psalms 119. Okay, and in Psalms, we're going to look at David's plea to God and what God had to, how he felt about God. And over in Psalms 119, 9 through 16, listen to how David talks about God or talks to God. He says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." That's the word of God. Keeping it pure by the word of God. "With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word." I will not forget your word. See, what David says is, I've studied it. I've researched it. I've gone back and I've looked at what the scripture, that being the Torah during their time, says about who we are to be. And we are to be students of God. We are to study his word. We are to seek instruction from him. And we get that instruction from the word and from the men, wise counsel, men and women in our lives. But not only did he study it, he meditated on it. He focused on it. He dug in deep. He just didn't read it. When you instruct somebody, you have to learn it twice. You learn it as a student, and then you learn it as a teacher to share with others. To do that, he had to really dig in deep. It wasn't just instruction, but instruction on God and the ways of God. David promised his son that if he would listen to God and follow God's statutes, that he would have a life that would be marked by riches, by success, by many different things. And for us, we have the same thing today. But here's something I want to challenge you with. Understand what riches are. What did David say there in 119? He said, God's word is more valuable than all the riches. So God's word, that's the riches. If you know God's word, you are rich in this life. With that, Solomon had to take that same information in. He had to have what's called a teachable spirit. If you are not able to take in information, if you're not able to take the instruction of an individual, it doesn't matter how much you study, you will still be a dry well. Because you have to take that in and then use that information, absorb it into your own being. That's where we need to make sure that we understand what the Lord is trying to tell us in the scripture that we're reading. Now, to help us make sure that we understand, I want to use an analogy. Okay, analogy is just storytelling. Think about it this way. I said journey earlier. We're on a journey. God is doing a lot of things. The three things I want to share with you today are part of a journey. And anytime you take a journey, there are three basic things that you need to kind of have in your tool sack with you. One is to have a map. A map is a source of information. Points on a map. It's just data. I'm going to call that knowledge. All right. Information. The second thing you need to have is a trip plan. For the military, a trip plan means we know how we're going to get there, where we're going to go, what we're going to do. In the Kratzer household, our trip plan is not provided by AAA. It's provided by RKK, Raylene K. Kratzer. All right? She maps it out. She's all right. We can travel this far on this day, and these are the things we'll see. This is when we'll take a break. This is when we'll have lunch. She has a plan. So you have to have a plan. That's wisdom. It's actually experiencing something. The last thing, you're going to think, well, now this is kind of crazy. But it's compassion. When you go on a trip, you need to have compassion. You need to have compassion for those that have a little bit smaller bladder than the rest of us. So though your schedule says we will stop for break 3 at this time, sometimes you have to moderate that thing. As the driver, you need to have compassion for other drivers. Not everyone is as clued in as you are on what's going on behind the wheel. Sometimes you get cut off. So having compassion for others. And there are just bad days out there. So when you stop and you're at a restaurant and somebody's not having a good day that may be waiting on you, have compassion on them. We're going to walk through these very things. The first one, the trip, the map, that's knowledge, instruction. The second one, the trip plan, we're going to call that wisdom. The last one, compassion, we're going to call that insight or understanding. Because that's what David was doing. He was giving his son a trip plan, a way to know. Let's go back to Proverbs 1 through 4. What does it say? It says that when he was young, his dad instructed him. And in that, that means getting knowledge, getting understanding, getting instruction. Knowledge, or to know, is simply a collection of facts. Getting the information together. A book, a textbook, is knowledge. You get knowledge by going to a school, by studying, by looking into something. Our world would like to tell you that all of the learning or instruction that you need is readily available through them, through the world. And that's true. Wikipedia is the source of all knowledge for the world. All right? Not for the man or woman of God, but for the world. You can find out a lot, but here's the challenge. Not all instruction is good instruction. Wikipedia can lead you down the wrong road. It can take you to a place that is not right, misinformation. So be careful. But for us, the believer, the man or woman of God, you've got your instruction. You've got to study it. It is the source of all knowledge. But Christians would ask, so what is or what does the Bible tell us as the source of knowledge? We'll flip over look down to verse 7 there in Proverbs 4. And it says that, actually it's not Proverbs 4. It's back a little bit earlier in Proverbs. It tells us in Proverbs 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, let me help you out a little bit with this fear. The world teaches us fear terror. Be afraid. If you don't know, it's dangerous out there. And we need to make sure that you have enough information that you know the dangers. God does not operate out of terror. God operates out of respect. See, this fear of the Lord is fear respect. Fear respect says, I know you're the creator. I know you are capable of all things. I know you have a plan for my life. But in those things, in that plan, I respect you. You are my dad. And I know that what you have for me is the very best. You're not here to terrorize me. You know, I've made that mistake as a dad. I've terrorized my boys. Didn't work out well. Fortunately, I got smart and went to the respect side of it. Fear respect. That's what is the beginning of knowledge. Fear respect. God's called us to do stuff. Respect him and do that. It'll be okay. It'll work out. Fear respect says that we respect God by remembering that he has a plan and we don't have it. We don't have his plan. We only have the next few moments ahead of us. We can make all the ideas that we want, but he has the plan and he is the provider of our knowledge. Another thing that we see here in the scripture is the heart. He says to guard your heart with all your heart. For us, heart is emotions. So we've got the head thing going on with knowledge. The next thing is the emotions. Who we are, our heart, our spirit. The challenge is who we are, our behaviors will come out from our heart. We will manifest our emotions and who we are inside through that. And that's a real challenge because emotions are troublesome. They can lead you down a path that is not where you want to go. Personally, I tend to be I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I can react very quickly to things. You can read it in my face. 70% of our communication is nonverbal. If I'm not happy about something, you'll see it really quickly. If I'm confused, I'm pretty good about that puppy dog look of what confused is. I don't understand that. I'm ignorant. We are all ignorant. Because, see, ignorance is simply lacking knowledge. I didn't say this earlier. I need to say this now. I'm a simple guy. I like simple words to define who we are and what we're doing. Big words are tough for me because I have to look them up. All right? So you'll hear me say things like, disciple means to be student of. To be ignorant means lacking knowledge. We all lack knowledge. But the Lord wants us to get this knowledge. And he gives us a heart for that knowledge. Solomon tells us that we need to hold fast to the word in our heart. Hold fast to the word of God in your emotions so that you respond correctly to the things that are going on around you. Because see, here's the thing. As a dad, you got to be real careful about how you respond to things. Because the family will respond to those things too. If you look afraid, then you will have fear in the family. You need to look like you know what you're doing, whether you do or not, okay? But look like you're in control. It'll be okay. But don't go too far overboard with that. Anytime there is a situation, our emotions can get the best of us. And we need to be careful about that. Our behavior is an outward manifestation of our heart, our emotions. For us, as fathers, instruction or knowledge means that we need to teach our sons and daughters. I would even go as far as to say that we need to teach men and women around us too. Because wherever you're at in life, you have a responsibility. And understand that knowledge and heart go into that teaching. Both sides of that need to happen. And in that teaching, we all have something to learn. Because we are sons, men, not only should we be teachers, fathers teach, but sons are to be taught. We need to have a teachable spirit. We need to be able to be told this or told that. And not let our emotions get the very best of us. Because that's what the Father wants us to do, is to learn. Remember what he said earlier at the beginning? Knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Fools despise instruction. Don't be a fool. We need to make sure that we have the opportunity to be receptive to instruction at any situation. Our emotions tend to get in the way. Someone's coming to us, just like it says in Scripture about how we do church discipline. Be careful when church discipline happens. You might be the next one that's being disciplined. And be okay with that. Iron sharpens iron. If I'm doing something wrong, if I have a blind spot and I'm doing something that doesn't make sense, please come talk to me. If you don't, I continue to replicate that silly action, that habit, and I may be offending somebody. I'm okay with instruction. You should be okay with instruction. Some of our best lessons will be learned from our children, our spouses, the people around us. Be teachable. And I like the word teachable moments. Teachable moments say that we look for opportunities to learn. Be like the Bereans, okay? And Timothy, the Bereans are sitting there and Timothy writes that Paul was talking, and they'd go home right after that. They'd search it through and say, oh, wait a second, he said this. Does that make sense? Where is he finding this? Verify. Good Ronald Reagan thing. Trust, but verify, okay? Make sure that the instruction you're getting is good instruction. They were noble-minded, Don Noble. Great eagerness to search and examine the Word of God. Examine it. Be a Berean. Be open to instruction. But in that open to instruction, get wisdom. Wisdom that Solomon talks about here, it's easy, right? You just go down to the store. You get you some wisdom. It's on the shelf. No, I wish it were that simple. Wisdom is about experience. Wisdom, you have to get it. You have to acquire it. It just can't be bought on the shelf. It is life. You have to take possession of it. You have to make it part of who you are and where you're going. And understand that wisdom will open up many different doors and gates for you. The first thing that he tells us in wisdom is that we have to have a plan. We have to have that roadmap, if you will. And that as we have that roadmap, and we're mapping off our routes and everything, we need to understand that there are facts and information that come into this. So wisdom is fed by the facts and information. If you think about it this way, having or showing wisdom is taking what you know and applying it, putting it into action. Wisdom is the living out what we've learned. The scripture also tells us that there were people that were always hearing, always listening, but not doing anything with it. Okay, we don't want to be that person, because that person just sits there and just constantly is fed, and they get fat on the word, but they don't know what to do with it. Because when you're active, you'll burn calories. You'll burn a lot of energy, and it will sharpen your mind. Wisdom is having that set of facts and then putting them into action around you with the people that are there. And as we see in chapter 1 in verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. We should be lifelong learners. Wisdom is always there, and we can gain more and more from the experiences around us. Lifelong learners. Now, my wife has been challenged with this whole lifelong learning thing because I've been in school forever. I'm in a class right now. But I've gotten smarter and smarter about the things that go on in the world that I live in. But the scripture, there is no time in life that I should not be reading the scripture, that I should not be studying God's word, because it does make me wiser and wiser. And it gives me the ability to help others. See, that's part of eldership. Men, if you feel God has called you to be an elder, a little segue here, I'm going to step aside for a second, understand that that means a lot of work. That means you need to study the word of God to be able to rightly divide what the scripture says. There are plenty of people out there with opinions on what the Bible says, but you've got to study and know what it does say and how to help others, all right? How to help them to understand. That's wisdom, but then comes the next part, compassionately helping them to understand the word. I'm a bull in the china shop, all right? Come on, let God sort them out, okay? Man, that's easy. That's not what we're called to do, though. Man, if only it was that way. We have to have compassion and walk slowly. Know where people are or understand where they are. Because you know what? You were there before, too. As we collect more information and become wiser, sometimes there's a hoity-toity type of attitude that we can get that we're so smart. Be careful of that. That's pride. David had the same challenge. Solomon had the same challenge. They thought they were all that in a bag of chips, and that's just not the deal. All right? We all have things to learn. God is the only one that's all that in a bag of chips. All right? So be careful and have understanding. But this whole thing on wisdom, before we move further into insight or wisdom, fathers need to get wisdom by creating opportunities for their kids. Or fathers help wisdom grow in their children or the people around them by creating opportunities. Create teachable moments. Moments where your kids or the people around you will have a chance to go, hadn't thought about that. It gets more and more challenging as they get more and more smarter, which is good. It means you're doing your job. The harder it is to teach your kid because they're getting so sharp, the better off you are. That means you're doing your job right. Teachable moments. We help them to understand what life is and what the Word of God says. For instance, going down the road the other day, I saw a stack of rocks alongside of the road. I'm in training to go to a place where if you stack up rocks alongside the road, that means there's a bomb nearby. Bad guys stack the rocks to tell their people there are bombs here, but the silly Americans don't know that stacked up rocks means bombs. Okay? In the scripture, though, it's where I went. First place I went. I saw rocks stacked up. When they crossed the Jordan, they stacked up rocks. Why? So that it would be a reminder of what God had done for them at that place. So every time I see stacked up rocks, I go, it's a reminder of what God has done for me, what God has done for the Israelites, what God has done in these places. So it makes me stop and pause for a moment. And I hope in Afghanistan, when I stop and pause, it also, he brings to my memory that stacked up rocks means bad things for other people too, like bombs, okay? They'll be okay. Teachable moments. Create opportunities for your kids to experience life. And this is different from knowledge because it's applied learning. Experiential learning is what that boils down to. Now, for us as sons, Get wisdom means that we need to learn to appreciate the experiences that God has given to us. That sounds cool. Sure, we want to appreciate whatever God gives us. The bad things too. You're going to learn more with the bad things than you will with the good things. I learn more when I make a mistake than when I do it right. I've made a lot of mistakes. Why do you think David was so good at instructing his son? He made a lot of mistakes. But don't repeat the mistakes. Learn from them. Go forward. That's wisdom. All right? Insanity is repeating the same thing over, expecting to get different results. We're not talking insanity here. We're talking about wisdom. Learn, go. Go forward. Bad things happen to us because God has allowed those things to happen. We consider them bad, but maybe he doesn't. He has a purpose and a plan and an intention. We don't understand all the time. But we need to learn to go to him and say, I don't know why this is happening, but I know you're in control. I trust you, and I will go forward from here, and it will be okay. The third bullet here, all preachers, three bullets. Okay, so I fall into that. Get insight. Insight is that compassion that I was talking about. It's where we take our wisdom and we put humanity onto it. We help people by understanding where they're at. See, the first two, instruction and wisdom, are internal. It's inside. Compassion is external. It's how I relate to people out here. It's how I interact with them. Because you can have all the knowledge and wisdom in the whole wide world, but if you're not a compassionate person, nobody will listen to you. That whole kill them all, God sort them out, doesn't work. That actually came out of the Crusades. I don't know if you know that or not. Because the Pope said, you know what, we're going to the Crusades, we're going to just fight the Muslims, and we'll just kill them all, Christian and Muslim both, and God will sort it out. That's a terrible way to be. That's a very inhumane way to be. Because what we've done is we've said life is not important. People are not valuable. And that is totally counter to what Christ teaches us. Christ teaches us that every person is valuable and important, and we have a responsibility to find their value. We have a responsibility to teach them their importance in the eyes of God. And in doing that, we will make a way for them. You see, in my younger days, that whole bull in the china shop, I was very harsh often toward people that were not believers because I thought, well, they should know. God's given us the Bible. They should know. But as I've traveled down the road and God has expanded my understanding, I start seeing, you know what? When lost people do lost people things, it's because they're lost people. It's okay. That's how it is. I don't need to get too worked up about it, because if I get worked up about it, I may be spinning my wheels in the wrong direction. I need to be a little bit more compassionate, and I need to share with them what God says about life and how we can best understand the reality of our world through the glasses that he has given us. The thing is, it's not my job to tell people that they're wrong. The scripture and God will teach them when they're wrong. It's my job to help them to understand, to go forward. God uses me as a tool to lead them in a direction. So I'm much more compassionate toward the lost. Let's flip that over to another side too. What about the Christians? You know what? When Christians made mistakes, man, I'd be all over them like nobody's business. Here's the rules. You broke the rules. Suffer the pain. Suffer the consequences. But as I've gone along, I've started realizing, you know what? It doesn't work either. There are a lot of Christians that don't know. They're ignorant, lacking knowledge of what God says in his word. So I need to help them gain that knowledge. Now, if they continue to do wrong after they have the knowledge, okay, that's a whole other set of issues. We need to work through that, because the Lord tells us that the wise will take instruction and the fool will reject it. In time, I've become more cautious about who I call Christian. So please don't be offended if I ever ask you to share your testimony with me. It's so I can know who you are. That's why I started with my testimony today, how I came to Christ, so that you know who I am, where I came from. Now, does that mean hard and fast? No, because there are a lot of liars and deceivers out there. But it's a good starting spot. Get to know one another. It's about relationship. And as we gain that insight or understanding of others, It means that we have to become self-aware of who we are so that we can become aware of others. For fathers, we need to help our kids see God's people or the people of this world through the eyes of God. Being able to integrate knowledge and wisdom to understanding so that we can see what God has called us to do in the lives of others. As a son, for me, insight means that I need to pursue God to understand his plan in the life events that I'm experiencing. Because you know what? I can suffer the experience, but if I don't understand why God let me go there, if I don't try to make some sense out of that, it's for naught. It's really tough to work through all these things. It's hard work, but it's okay. Because as you work through gaining that knowledge and you become wise in the knowledge you've gotten and you understand people better, you become a mature believer in Christ. And that's the bedrock of who we need to be, men, as we go forward. We need to be mature to handle the things of life. And you're probably thinking, I don't know if some of you may have seen this, I call this a point man. All right? We need to be a point man. And the reason for that is that's the role of the father, to be the point man out in front of the family, out in front of the issues that are going on in your workplace and in your congregation, to be the one out in front. For us here, if you're a man in this church, you're a point man because it's Point Community Church. Okay? That's just showing up. We're not talking about just showing up. I want you to engage. I want you to be someone who aggressively goes out. And I kind of got that from somebody else this week, this whole point man thing. I have to wait for that moment of inspiration. Lisa Banks, who is the wife of our church plant pastor down in Savannah, sent out an email this week and she said, hey, you know, what can a father tell other fathers on this Father's Day? And one guy responded back with something I thought was very interesting and kind of drives home this point man a little bit more. He wrote, fatherhood is a high calling. The father is to be a point man of the family. The point man walks the dangerous path first. He is the eyes and ears watching for danger. He meets and engages the enemy first. He warns his men. A good point man lays down his life for his men. And I would add to what Mike Young says here, a point man opens the path for others to follow. Men, we need to help open that path for others to follow. And we open that path by doing exactly what Solomon did here. He took the time to stop everything and say, I need to tell you something. You need to get wisdom. You need to get insight. You need to do the hard things that take us there. Because if you do that, life will be very rewarding for you. Life will open up new avenues to you that you never saw. As a matter of fact, each one of us, men and women, need to be point people. And here at the point, that's easy to do, but be an active point person. You need to pursue knowledge and wisdom and get insight. Pursuing godly knowledge is the key here, not just knowledge of the world, but godly knowledge and godly wisdom and insight, all the while investing in the lives of the people around you. That's why we do community groups. It is about relationship. And if you come in here only on Sunday morning, fill a chair, and then leave and have nothing to do with point people, you're wrong. I'm just going to lay it out there, brother, because it's wrong. We are about a family in relationship with others. We need to help one another out. And a family that does not meet together cannot function together. Please consider what I'm saying here. I'm just a dad. If I don't engage my sons on a regular basis, then I'm wrong. I've not done my job. Scripture tells us that godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. We need to be about what God has called us to do, and that is to help others in this journey, to teach, to be useful tools. And in being a useful tool, we need to help them understand why we do the very things that we do. Here in just a moment, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. We're going to have communion. We're going to break bread. We're going to dip the bread in the wine with a purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? Do you understand why we do that? If you don't, you need to find out. See, we do this regularly because the Lord instructed us to. But if we just do something because he said so, Wrong answer. As a dad, I used to tell my boys, you're going to do it because I said so. And then it clicked. No, I need to help them to understand why. My job is not to tell them what to think. My job as a dad is to teach them how to think. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, I want to teach you how to think. I want to help you to think about why we do the things that we do. And now as we come to the table, take a moment and dwell on what Christ said. Examine yourself. That's why we do this. Examine yourself. At the point we do this every week so that you can have a short examination. You're examining the last 7 days. How was my relationship with God? How was my relationship in studying His Word? How was my relationship with those around me? Keep it short. Every 7 days, you know, you're going to come to the table and you're going to examine yourself, making sure that you are where you need to be in relationship to God. And in that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for wisdom, understanding, and instruction, Lord. Insight into who I need to be for you and why I need to teach the things that you've called me to teach. Lord, I thank you that as a teacher, I get a chance to share your word in many different ways, in many different forms. But most importantly, to be in the lives and relationships with your people. There are none better, Father. There are none better. Your people, the people that love you and worship you and regularly meet to discuss who you are and what you're doing in their lives, energize me, Father, as you energize me and us to do your will. And that all that we do is in your time and in your plan and in your prompting, because you've called us to be your sons and daughters. And in that call, you have equipped us. You have equipped us to do many things and great things. Father, I just pray now that we will step out and be the point person you have called us to be in the lives of those around us. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.